إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's leave, today, that which is October the 6th, which is Tuesday, today inshallah this constitute our 28th class on the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله. Today inshallah our class, the class number 28 from the book The Attainment of the Objective by الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني. And our class today is concerning Al-Jum'ah, which is a salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on the Muslim male of this ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the attendance and being part of the Jum'ah obligation on the Muslims. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had named surah in Al-Quran. Yeah, you can bring it a little bit closer, inshallah. But it's working there, you can bring it. You can go in the hallway and see if it's working there or not. And we have a surah on Al-Quran, a chapter by name Al-Jum'ah. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated after A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu, iza nudiya lis-salati min yawm al-jum'ah, فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this verse commands the believers by saying, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, oh who you believe, إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة, is the Jum'ah, the Adhan is established for Yawm al-Jum'ah. Fas'aw ila dhikri Allah, hasten to the remembrance of Allah. Wa dharu al-bay', and leave business, leave all occupation alone. This is better for you if you only knew. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Jum'ah must and obligatory in all men who are present, who are home, who are well, they are not sick, and that regardless whatever occupation they do, the students or the laborers or professionals, whatever their occupation, they have to leave it during this time, and they have to go to the remembrance of Allah. They have to go to the salah, they have to go to the khutbah, they have to go to this admonition that which reminds them about Allah and revive their iman and their deen and bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is commanding them to leave all occupation, that earning any money during this hour is haram, is forbidden. The income during Jum'ah is haram, even if he's selling milk and bread, okay? Even if he's selling halal product, it's still haram to earn a dollar, and the income during this hour is forbidden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made Jum'ah to be like a Eid for the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this day a special day for the Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing us in hadith which reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, about one of the speciality of Jum'ah by saying, إذا كان يوم الجمعة كان على كل باب من أبواب المسجد ملائكة يكتبون الناس على قدر منازلهم الأول فالأول فإذا جلس الإمام طووا الصحف وجاءوا يستمعون الذكر. This hadith which is in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah s.a.w. telling us when is the day of Jum'ah is in, the angels, they will sit by the doors or the gates of the mosque. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sit by the door of the mosque, and they will record the names of the people who come into Jum'ah. First come, first record, okay? Until the Jum'ah established, the Adhan is called, now the angels will close their books, and they themselves, the angels, they will come inside the mosque to listen to the khutbah. So those people who comes late, their name is not written. You see, like when you go to a party and they have this book there, that like visitors or guests, okay? And after this, if you try to be there to put your name there, like a privilege fee, huh? VIP, whatever you call it. You see, so the angels, they are recording the people who come into the masjid. But when it comes the time for khutbah, they close their books and they come themselves to listen to this remembrance. So can you imagine if the angels themselves come in to listen to the khutbah? What about a human being who always make mistakes and commit sins? He needed more than the angels, okay? This is pure creation of Allah who did not commit any wrong or any evil. They themselves coming to listen to the khutbah. What about the human beings? They needed more than the angels, is it? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that the first person who come to attend Jum'ah, that he will get such a great reward as if he bought a whole camel and distributed for the sake of Allah. Can you imagine buying a whole camel? Like you're talking about spending what? About $1,500, okay, or $1,000 at least. And that you give this meat in charity, okay? The person, the second person who come will be like a person who bought a whole cow and distributed for Allah's pleasure. And after this, the reward will come less and less, like a person who bought a goat or bought a sheep, until it comes to so small, like a person who buy an egg, one egg, and he give it fi sabilillah. So this Rasulullah ﷺ telling us that the early that you come to Jum'ah, the more reward that you get in. So Yawm al-Jum'ah is a special day, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us about it, that this is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. Okay? And that this is a day which is the Yawm al-Qiyamah going to be established in it. And this is the day which As-Sa'qa, okay, or the hour will be established in it. And this is the day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permit Adam to paradise. So Yawm al-Jum'ah is a special day in the Muslim life, okay? And this is like a Eid. You have a Eid every year and you have a Eid every week. So the weekly Eid and the weekly feast for the Muslim is the Jum'ah. And this is the reason that is recommended for the Muslims, that they wash up and they put the best of their clothes and they put perfume, the men to put perfume, and they come early. So all these things, because this is a special day for them, they get together and they meet together and they listen to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a small introduction concerning Jum'ah, and there is more details, but I don't want spend too much time out of the book that we're supposed to be discussing. So today, inshallah, since we're talking about Jum'ah, we go back to the original book that we usually use, which is a book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, the attainment of the objective. And for those who have the book, inshallah, we are today in chapter number 12, Al-Jum'ah prayer. Chapter 12 in page 157. Okay? And the first hadith, alaykum assalam, alaykum assalam. And the first hadith in this chapter, hadith which number 354. Hadith number 354 reported by Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Umar wa Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhum annahuma sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqulu ala a'wad min birih la yantahiyan aqwam an wad'ihim al-jum'at أو ليختمن الله على قلوبهم ثم ليكونن من الغافلين رواه مسلم. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar as well as Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that both of them reported that they heard from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he mentioning this on his minbar. Okay, so we understand that the sunnah to have a member in the masjid, and the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pulpit that he used to use, consists of three steps: two steps to climb and the third one to sit on it, like our member in the masjid, alhamdulillah. So if you step on the first step to climb, the second step you stand on it, the third step that you sit on it. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was standing on the minbar and he was warning the Muslim and telling them, people must cease to neglect Friday prayers. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize their hearts. And then they will be among the unaware. unaware. Among those who are been their heart been covered, have a cover over them. So from this hadith we see the seriousness of neglecting the Jum'ah, and that the Jum'ah is a must. Okay? And neglecting the Jum'ah, it will cause heart disease. What kind of a heart disease will be a veil on the heart? And when there is a veil on the heart, comes as a result of committing the sin. And neglecting the Jum'ah is a sin. And when the heart is covered and has a ghishawa, and he has a seal on it, the person will see the good bad and the bad good. He will see the evil to be good and the good to be evil. He will see the sunnah to be innovation and the innovation nothing wrong with it. You see? Why? Because his heart did not understand properly, neither it can see rightly. Okay? So as a result, وعليكم السلام, of a seal on the heart and a ghishawa or a veil on the heart came as a result of neglecting the Jum'ah, because the school is more important, the degree more important, the dollar more important. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes those people among the ghafileen. Okay? Those who unaware, that mean is not paying attention anymore to what is good, what can be beneficial for him. And this hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic, walhamdulillah. Next hadith, hadith number 355, reported by Salama ibn al-Aqwa' radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, qal كنا نصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الجمعة ثم ننصرف وليس للحيطان ظل نستظل به, متفق عليه, واللفظ للبخاري. So the second hadith is talking about the time of Jum'ah, and that the Sahaba, one of them reported, which is Salama ibn al-Aqwa, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, we used to finish Jum'ah. That means we heard the khutbah and we made the salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we depart from the masjid, and while the wall has no shade for us to go under it. Okay? That means the almost time of, because the shade comes when? After the sun moves from the middle of the sky. And now he can, because as long as the sun in the middle of the sky, there is no shade. Now when you start to move towards the west, little bit more, now you can have more shade. That means they used to make it almost before the Zawal. And this is one of the time of Jum'ah. Okay? And this one of the time of Jum'ah. And in another narration for Imam Muslim, kunna nujmi' معه إذا زالت الشمس ثم نرجع نتتبع الفيء. Okay, the first narration was by Bukhari. The second narration by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, that we used to offer Jum'ah prayer with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the sun passed. Okay, by the Zawal. Okay, passed by the meridian, and we then return and try to find out the afternoon shadow. Okay, so each Sahabi or each narration giving us a different time. Therefore, we understand that the Jum'ah is flexible. And for the Imam, and let's get one hadith more, and this hadith also is authentic. And hadith number 356 reported by Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal ma kunna naqil wa la nataghadda illa ba'da al-jum'ah. This muttafaqun alayhi, this agreed in Bukhari and Muslim. Okay? And in narration say, during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they did not have the qaylula, like what you call nab. neither lunch until we finish the Salah. So from this we understand that time of Jum'ah is extended and is up to the Imam to see what is more reasonable for the Muslims, okay, and the, during the seasons also to make it no hardship for the Muslims, okay. So if it's that during the summer they can do it early as example, okay, or during the winter they can do it little bit later after the sun moved out of the middle of the sky. And here the footnote says that according Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, it is permissible to start performing Friday prayers before Zawal. That means the declining of the sun. The rest of the Imam, okay, the other Imams, and the majority of the scholars observe the Friday prayer must be performed immediately after Zawal. Okay? After Zawal. But as I said, from these previous three ahadith, we see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made it in different time and for the Imam to see what is more suitable and were more beneficial for the Muslims, okay, and he can do it. In actuality, the Jum'ah prayer is like the Eid prayer in the time. You can do it from after sunrise, about half an hour, any time until the time of the regular time for Zuhr, okay? So anytime the Imam see it to be more reasonable, he can do it and will be known to the Muslims that this is the time for Jum'ah to get together. So this is the previous three ahadith, all of them authentic and all of them dealing with the time of Jum'ah when it can be established. Next hadith, which is hadith number 357, reported by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخطب قائما فجاءت عير من الشام فانفتل الناس إليها حتى لم يبقى إلا 12 رجلا رواه مسلم. Okay, this hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was making khutbah standing up. This is the first thing that we learn from the hadith, that the khutbah to be delivered from the standing up position on the member, on the pulpit. Okay? And we just stated about the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the things, since we're talking about the member and the standing up, that some of the innovation been extended to even the member. So when you go to some places overseas, you will see a member that about 22 steps, okay, and you will find flags both sides of the Imam and sword hanging there and verses of the Quran written everywhere and Allah and Muhammad and Uthman and Ali, and you found all these things. Wa alaykum salam. So to such a degree that you could not even see the face of the Imam on the member, because like he's in the second floor in a balcony all the way up, you see. And this was not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his member only three steps, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give the khutbah standing up, no flags, no swords, no verses of Quran written, nothing of these things. فَجَاءَتْ عِيرٌ مِّنَ الشَّامِ. When a caravan from Syria arrived, so some of the people, they hastened towards this caravan and they left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with other companions while he was giving the khutbah. Nobody remained in the masjid except 12 people from the Sahaba. And this shows you also how much disturbance Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced during his da'wah, even from the Muslims. Can you imagine? The Prophet of Allah is giving khutbah and people leaving him in Jum'ah. Okay?
because some money. They left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they hastened outside, and the hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. So the hadith is authentic. Next hadith, which in page number 159, hadith number 358, hadith reported by Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, qal قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أدرك ركعة من صلاة الجمعة وغيرها فليضف إليها أخرى وقد تمت صلاته. رواه النسائي وابن ماجه والدارقطني واللفظ له وإسناده صحيح. Okay. This hadith reported by son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. And he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whosoever of any one of you, he caught one raka'ah min salat al-jum'ah, from the jum'ah prayer, let him add one raka'ah more to it, and his salah is what? Is completed. Alright? So, for some reason, that a person being caught in the traffic or have a flat tire, whatever it is, this hadith is not giving you a green light to be late for Jum'ah. Because we heard in the introduction the reward and the blessings of being early for Jum'ah, and how the angels will be standing there by the door of the masjid writing the name of the people who come first. As soon as the imam comes in the member, what is the angels going to do? They're going to close the book. They don't write anybody's name anymore. You see? So, but, alhamdulillah, the deen of Islam is easy, is good, is beautiful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows that sometimes things happen to us. So, in case that somebody came late, and the khutbah is over, and the imam already start the salah, and he missed one raka'ah from the prayer, and he called the second raka'ah, so what he's supposed to do? He will add one raka'ah more, and he will be making Jum'ah. This will be considered to him as what? As a Jum'ah. But if he enter and the imam in the second raka'ah, he already said Sami' Allahu liman hamida, he's not catching a raka'ah. Okay? He will join the imam and he will make what? He will make four raka'at praying dhuhr. Okay? So the raka'ah will be caught when you catch the imam in Fatiha, or you catch the imam reciting the surah after Fatiha, or you catch the imam in the ruku'. But as soon as the imam says Sami' Allahu liman hamida, this raka'ah is gone and you lost your whole Jum'ah. Okay? And there is narration say وغيرها, that mean other prayers. That mean whenever you catch a raka'ah from any salah with the imam, that mean you, the reward of jama'ah will be considered for you, but you still have to do what? To complete your prayer. If it's jum'ah, you add another raka'at. If you catch the imam in the last raka'ah of the maghrib, you will add two raka'at. If you catch the imam in salat al-fajr, in salah last raka'ah, you will add one raka'at. If you catch the imam for dhuhr and asr and isha in the last raka'at, you will add what? Three raka'at. And the hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and Dara-Qutni, and the hadith, inshallah, is authentic. Last hadith, inshallah, so because time for the prayer, Maghrib prayer, and after this we continue after Salat al-Maghrib. Hadith number 359. وعن جابر ابن سمرة ابن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخطب قائما ثم يجلس ثم يقوم فيخطب قائما، فمن انبأك انه كان يخطب جالسا فقد كذب. اخرجه مسلم. The hadith is reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, that he informed us about the condition of the khatib, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to deliver the khutbah what? Standing up, and after this he will sit, okay, and after this he will get up again and he will give the khutbah. So if anybody inform you that the Prophet ﷺ gives the khutbah sitting, he is lying against the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So from this we understand that the Jum'ah, part of the Jum'ah is the khutbah, and the khutbah to be delivered standing up, and that there is two khutbah for the Jum'ah, and that there is sitting for the Imam between the two khutbah. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic. We continue inshallah after Salat al-Maghrib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Shahid. So we continue what we from before Salat al-Maghrib. Before we continue in our class, are you there, Mujahid? Can you hear me? We want to go back to hadith number 358. The hadith, although is classified as sahih, but the saying of Jum'ah is ishaz, okay? And I don't know how to translate shaz to you. Is a odd. Anyway, the hadith, as I said, in the collection of An-Nisa'i and collection of Ibn Majah, Dharqutni, Al-Bayhaqi, وقد صححه الشيخ الألباني مع اعتبار الحاكم المذكور. انظر الإرواء. For you to go to the book of Al-Irwa, which Sheikh Nasir said about the hadith to be authentic, but is the hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من أدرك ركعة من صلاة الجمعة فقد أدرك الصلاة. This is the hadith which is authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, but the hadith by this statement, which by from Ibn Umar, classified as weak. So if anybody classified it as sahih, please correct it. But still the meaning, the fiqh meaning of it is still correct. I know it's maybe a little bit complicated, but maybe inshallah, if Brother Ghassan in the end of the class can give you how the hadith shaz and what is shaz, and how the hadith can be sahih and not sahih, and the whole details. But for the time being, to make a long story short, you can put in beside this hadith to be weak, hadith number 358, and still the meaning, the fiqh meaning of it is correct. If you catch the last raqa of Jum'ah, you add another raqa and you quote the Jum'ah. And please don't ask me any more question about it. Hadith number 359 is authentic, and we'll finish it. And now we about to finish to explain hadith number 360, which reported from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, qal kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iza khataba ihmarrat aynah wa ala sawtuhu wa ishtadda ghadabuhu hatta ka'annahu munziru jayshin yaqulu sabbahakum wa massakum wa yaqul amma ba'd fa inna khayra al-hadithi kitabullah wa khayra al-huda huda Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة. The hadith is reported by Jabir
son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him as well as his father, describing the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the physical changes that took place on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, face, eyes, voice, while he is delivering the khutbah. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so no dust on it, that mean is authentic 100% inshallah. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deliver khutbah al-jum'ah, his eyes would become red, his voice rose, and his anger become violent, as if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning an army, okay, saying sabahakum wa masakum, that means the enemy is about to approach you early in the morning or by sunset, okay, by the evening. So when you warning somebody about an army coming to attack you, can you imagine somebody rushing, try to give this news for everybody to hurry up and get prepared? This is the way when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deliver the khutbah, because it's a matter of serious, okay, matter very serious, warning the Muslim, wake up people, don't let this dunya take you away from Allah, don't let this dunya beguiles you. You have Jannah waiting in you or hellfire waiting in you, okay? And as a result of this, the Prophet ﷺ was so serious about it. You can see this in his eyes, in his face, in his voice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Amma ba'd. Okay? He didn't say what it is, or an opening phrase for Islamic speech, meaning to whatever to proceed, whatever comes after this, okay? Indeed, the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Book of Allah. The best guidance is the Huda and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst of all affairs is bid'ah, okay? Or the newly thing. Let's see how he said it here. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, and what renders affairs most evil are the innovations, and all innovations are delusions, okay, misguidance, take you astray. And this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to repeat it almost every khutbah. And for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to repeat this every khutbah, that means this is the main cord of Islam. This is the basic and the most important thing to understand. And any Muslim, a scholar or a student, if he can understand the basic of these words, he will understand what this deen about. That is a complete religion, that it doesn't accept any foreigner idea, it doesn't accept opinions, it doesn't accept any addition, and that the best is to follow, not to invent. The next hadith, and there is another version for this hadith, وفي رواية الله كانت خطبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الجمعة يحمد الله ويثني عليه ثم يقول على إثر ذلك وقد على صوته. Also explaining the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he's delivering the khutbah. It was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم khutbah on Friday. He was to praise Allah. Afterward, he was to praise Allah afterward till it indeed his voice was raised, okay? So hopefully that some of the Muslims who are always complaining, the Imam always angry, the Imam always his voice in the khutbah is, oh, we understand, we are not here talking about eating, you understand, banana and apples, and talking about, it's not a matter of entertainment, that you're talking to people about something very serious. is your deen, and you have to take the matter very serious, okay? So we are not here to please the people, we're here to understand how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered this message. And it is not a matter that you try and even to imitate, it is something nature. You are not telling a story, okay? Especially if you're talking about some of the sickness that the Muslims been living in it and doing it day by night. People eating riba, people having girlfriends and boyfriends, women walking half naked, people coming to the masjid with almost no hijab. And after this, expecting the imam to be standing there, smiling and talking, you understand, as if nothing taking place in the masjid. In another version, which both version, this one and the one before, are authentic. وَفِي رِوَايَةِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Okay, that all the three versions are authentic, that whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can get astray, and whom Allah gets astray, no one can guide him. In other version, and in other version, that of An-Nisa'i, all the earth is caused to enter the fire. Okay, error by making adding things to this deen. This deen doesn't accept anything addition that is not came in Quran or came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or came from the understanding, the collective understanding of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. Hadith number 361 in page 160, reported by Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul inna tula salatir rajul wa qisari khutbatihi mi'natun min fiqhi. This in collection of Imam Muslim, that Ammar ibn Yasir describing or narrating it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning how the khutbah should be in Jum'ah and how the salah of Jum'ah should be. Okay, this is not a must, but it should. The length of a man's prayer and the shortness of his khutbah are a sign of his understanding or of the religion or wisdom, whatever. Okay, so it is, should the salah be longer and the khutbah is short. Okay, and sometimes for certain things that you have to give a long khutbah to explain to the people or to convince the people, and it depends who is the people you're talking to. Okay, who is the people that you're relating this message to? And some people, if they also the level of their iman, some people all what it takes a hadith and a verse from the Quran, and this is, you don't have to take more than 3 minutes, maximum 5 minutes in the khutbah. And some people you can even stay there for half an hour. And after this, he said, what's the khutbah today was about? Okay? Because some people be taking a nap, and some people coming out of a habit. Okay? That they go there to Jum'ah. And this is it. May Allah help all of us, inshallah. Hadith number 362, page 161, reported وعن أم هشام بنت حارثة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت ما أخذت قاف والقرآن المجيد إلا عن لسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأها كل جمعة على المنبر إذا خطب الناس. رواه مسلم. Okay, this hadith reported by Umm Hisham. This is one thing we understand or benefit from this hadith, that the women in the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they attend the Jum'ah, and they even participate in the da'wah by delivering what they heard, and they teach us what they saw or observed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they carry their part of learning, participating and passing the information And this is what it should be done by the Muslim sisters nowadays also. Okay? For sure, without mixing or breaking any Islamic rules. She said, I didn't memorize or learn. I learned Surah Qaf. Okay? Surah number 50. I learned Surah Qaf from the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to recite it every Friday on the pulpit. Okay? When he delivered khutbah. For sure that Hisham is reporting about what she observed. But this does not mean that every Jum'ah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Surah Qaf. But it may happen that every time that she attended that she heard this surah, but it shows that mean Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite it many times, and she can be so smart that she heard it few times, that she heard it few times, and as a result of this, she had memorized Surah Qaf. And this shows you that sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite Quran. The Quran itself is maw'idah, is admonishment, okay, and is enough to remind the Muslims about their deen. Hopefully, inshallah, that we can go and they try to look to this surah in the Quran so we can see one of the admonishment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during Jum'ah, Surah Qaf. Okay? Qaf for Quran al-Majid. And this hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. Hadith number 363 reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تكلم يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب فهو كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا والذي يقول له أنصت ليست له جمعة رواه أحمد بإسناد لا بأس به. The hadith is reported by Ibn Abbas in the collection of Imam Ahmad, and the hadith been classified to be weak, so we are not going to deal with it. Okay. The narration comes in page 162. Say, وهو يفسر حديث أبي هريرة في الصحيحين مرفوعة إذا قلت لصاحبك أنصت يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب فقد لغوت. That mean on Friday when the Imam is delivering the khutbah, everybody have to be quiet. You are not supposed to talk. You are not supposed to touch your pen, your tie. You did not play with anything. You did not tell the kids be quiet.